Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Realm Walker with Kelly McCarville on Girls vs. Ghosts Radio. Join Kelly every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/girlsversusghosts. And here's your host, Kelly McCarville.
Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We are in April already. Can you guys believe that? This year, it's just flying by. It's going so fast. Tonight, I have one of my favorite people on the show tonight. I had the pleasure of meeting Coyote Chris Sutton a couple years ago now, I think, at this point.
Well, at least.
And yeah, it's been at least 2 years. But just really have gotten an opportunity to know him and learn from him and grow with him. And I'm super excited he agreed to come on the show. So welcome, Chris. Thank you for being on the Realm Walker.
Well, you're welcome, Kelly. It's always a pleasure talking to you. So I'm very happy to come on.
Absolutely. And we had to wait a little while because we know that you had some surgery here not too long ago and everything's healing up and you're doing well with that, right?
Yes, I am. Doing really good. Yeah, I had, for guys that don't know out there, I had hip replacement back in January. And I tell you what, as bad as I was hurting, and Kelly knows this, and God, I was walking around like I was 100 years old. it's certainly much better now. I've got to get the right hip done sometime. But, you know, I tell you what, anybody's out there, if you got to get something done, if you're in pain, get it done. I held on because I had stuff to do and whatnot, but it's, I tell you what, anymore I'm not waiting if it gets bad enough.
Yeah. Even with just the one done, Chris, though, I think you're moving better. You're moving faster.
Oh, yeah.
So when you get that other one done, dude, you're going to outrun me easy.
I know. Yeah, I can go back out. I go out and play tennis again. You know, I like to play tennis with my son and other folks. And so my son kicks my butt, but, you know, I'll play with other people my age, too. Oh yeah, no, he's
Max, a good
tennis player. He doesn't look like he looks like a bear with a switch in his hand. You know, my son's really really big kid, but man, he can hit that thing. I tell you, he played on the varsity team in high school.
Did
he had to quit playing football. Yeah, he had too many concussions. He had to quit playing football and wrestling, and so he went to tennis.
God.
Yeah, and he got pretty good.
I knew he did the wrestling. I think I had heard of football, but
yeah,
I hadn't heard the whole had to stop because of the concussion parts of it. Ugh, scary. Man.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, none of us came out. Both my kids had concussion issues in high school. I had knee surgery and ended up getting shoulder surgery later on because of a high school wrestling injury. So, high school sports didn't do any of us any good. So,
I was just going to say, the funny thing is tennis is what screwed me up because I played tennis all through middle school and I rolled my ankle so many times that they were just wet spaghetti noodles by the time I was done.
No, I know.
So I have had surgery on both of my ankles. That's all right.
I know.
It's all right.
Yeah. But that's part of life, you know, and life doesn't come without pain. Life doesn't come without, you know, setbacks. And I remember, after getting in my hip done, I hadn't been laid up like that for a while. I'd been at least, because I had my shoulder operated on, 97, and so I haven't been laid up a good for about 20 years, and so on. But it sucks. But it was, I tell you what, after about 3 or 4 days, I'm like, well, you know what, it doesn't hurt either. So, you know, I just had the swelling and stuff, and so I have a real good surgeon, so yeah. But you know, these are the things in life that strengthen us, actually. So, you know,
absolutely.
And you're thankful for, you know, I went through the pain and stuff like that. And you're thankful for getting through it, and but it helps you build. And you know, I wish I'd gotten over it all that way earlier in life, because I had a bunch of surgeries earlier, you know. But no, it's, you know,
we get wiser as we get older. Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. Now, hopefully, we do.
Yeah.
You know, but
there's got to be hope for me still.
Yeah. You know, I just look at it, you know, as it, and you can complain about life all you want to, but, and bad things happen. And, you know, you and I have talked about this sort of thing before. Bad things happen to you. Oh, my God, this sucks, you know. But after a while, you look back and you're like, well, maybe that wasn't so bad after all.
This
because
was the best
I learned
thing that happened, yeah.
It happened to me, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, seeing like the worst thing at the time becomes, because it puts you in a place where you needed to be all along. And you never would have gotten there if you were still in that position. You know, you had been before, and the whatever happens, and it's tragedy, it's awful, and all that stuff. And then you come back and wait a minute, well, shit, this isn't so bad. No, I feel free, I feel lighter, you know, I'm ready to roll. And that's stuff.
And the funny thing is, with what we do, I mean, I'm telling people all the time, things happen for a reason. Just trust, have faith. Everything happens for a reason. But, man, when it's you personally, it's so hard to remember that. So,
I have a little echo in my head that tells me, hey, you know, that tells me every time, okay, what do you tell people? I say, okay, I can't complain.
Mm-hmm.
I got to roll.
Yeah,
I do. And as you get older, it's easier to do that, I think.
My spirit guide loves to remind me.
Yeah, you know, it's the age thing. I mean, in some ways it sucks, but in some ways it's like, you know, I've been through some nasty stuff. I can deal with this. This is nothing. And so, and you do, and then you're able to. And I always tell people that, you know, if something's really terrible has happened to them when they were growing up, and we'll be talking about it. And it's like, but you know what? You're gonna survive this. You're going to thrive through this, and you're going to show other people how to get through to the other side, just like you are going to do right now.
Yep.
And, you know, that's what spirit works funny. And, you know, I'm supposed to say your spirit of God, I mean, I say means the same thing to me, that it puts these obstacles and puts these trials in your way, and you fight through them. And that's why people say God has, you know, does things for a reason, or spirit does things for a reason. That's the reason, is for you to fight through it. And to become stronger, and then it doesn't stop there, because then you're gonna turn around, you're gonna reach your hand out to the next person, and help pull them along.
Yeah,
it's like somebody reached out and behind them and helped you, pulled you along. You know, you're gonna repay it.
Yeah. And, well, I know that you have been. I meant what I said. That you've been such a huge part of my life since I met you, and just a role model, and I adore you. I know I tell you that all the time. You probably get sick of hearing it. But.
Oh, no. Not at all. Keep playing it on. No, I do. No, and I appreciate what you're saying. I'm glad I can do that, and that I meant that to you. And I do appreciate it. And that just makes me, you know, want to keep going and keep helping and keep, you know, work, being
well,
with people.
I'm
just like,
nut.
You know, just being with people. What's that?
I said, I'm a tough nut. If you can get through and help
and
guide people like me, then I can't imagine the other life that you're touching. So.
Well, you had to be tough, and for some of the stuff you had to go through. And now, you know, you have a toughness now that works positively for you, I think, you know.
I hope so. I try to.
You know, I watch you, you know, do events and stuff like that. There ain't no playing with you, you know. It's like, this is what you know, but you have to be that way. You know, and when you put on events like your psychic, your expos, your psychic and paranormal expos and things like that, and you put on, I mean, I've put on little events, and you've got to tell people, well, shut up. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do it my way, and that's it. And you get how it's got to roll, you know?
Yeah.
You have
and
to
it's
do it.
It's hard sometimes, but yeah, you just have to. And I try my darndest to be fair to everybody. So, and have the same rules for everybody, but anyway.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about you and your path and kind of how you got to here. So you are a shamanic practitioner. So for anybody who may not know what that means, can you kind of wrap that up in a nutshell for us?
A nutshell. I've had practice. I can do this. Basically, you know, it's you know, the word shaman comes from Siberia, actually. You know, Russian shamans are out there. What a shaman does is, in the tribal sense, a person who practices shamanism, they are the intercessor between the people and the gods and the spirit. And so what they do is they journey, which is a way of saying that you, part of yourself, of your consciousness, travels to a place where it's like a neutral ground where you can meet these spirits, be they animal spirits or people spirits or elemental spirits. You go out there and you get information from them, and then you bring the information back to your people. If you're trying to figure out how to heal somebody and a bear comes to you in that place and shows you a certain route, you know, your bear goes down and digs a root up and shows you the root, that's what you're supposed to use to cure that person who's sick.
Oh, wow.
They may tell you things. You know, it's just, you see all kinds of crazy things. And I shouldn't say crazy. I used to think it was crazy. But because you start seeing weird shit like that, okay. But,
or talking
but yeah,
to
I mean,
yeah.
Are they talking? Yeah, I'll do that too. Oh, we'll tell that story later. That's such a lovely story. I love that story. Kelly and I talked to trees and our friends of ours. Hey, where it could be, even in the present, you know, and you could be seeing something like if you see, where was I going? Actually, I was going to Omaha. Gosh, was I going to Omaha? Yeah, I was going to Omaha. I saw a bald eagle. And it was inland. And whenever I say bald eagle inland, I know something's up. And so then you think, oh, what's an eagle mean? Okay, to me it means the spirit is wanting your attention. And big time, then they send an eagle. You know, hawk, red-tailed hawks, things like that. Those are good. Owls, any type of birds are generally messengers.
Right.
But, you know, it just depends on how you're taught. I mean, there's so many books out there, but this means this means that. And I just tell people, if you see a cardinal bird a lot, just Google cardinal totem or cardinal medicine, and it'll tell you, you know, it gives you a good synopsis. You know, people get too wrapped up in, oh, what does this mean? You know, okay, this got your attention, okay? That means you need to be focused on your spiritual path. Everybody, okay, I'm getting off topic. Okay, but anyway, everybody's got a medicine. Everybody's got a gift from spirit, a gift from God. And so basically that's telling you, it tells me that, okay, you'd be back where you're supposed to be in that. You know, we get out and we get out of our spiritual selves and into the muggle self of going to work every day and dealing with this, that, and the other, and we forget our spiritual self because guess what? Our culture is not really based on living spirituality day to day. Our culture is based on being spiritual once a week.
Right.
And so to do it day to day, you know, and to be walking with spirit every day and to have that mindset, being mindful means that, you know, you're always checking in with the spirit part of you. You're always saying, okay, what does this tell you? I mean, I'll run this still myself. I'll do something. I said, okay, well, gee, what did you just do? You just made a decision completely cutting your spiritual self out and just, you know, went back to your old ways to do it, of making decisions or doing something. And if you consulted and stopped for a second and sat down and just mulled over it for a little while and let it run, come through you and let spirit speak through your heart, then you need to come up with a better answer. And so it's so difficult to do, but that's the hard part about being spiritual. Is that you have to remind yourself all the time because our culture is not going to do it most of the time. There are some people who I admire very much, but like Dalai Lama, one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Right.
There's two people on my bucket list I want to meet. I am not flattered easily. I mean, I'm not really, I'm not a big celebrity chaser and stuff like that. But there are two people, the Dalai Lama and Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. And I actually tweeted this one time. Yeah, those are two people I want to meet. So anyway, but back to the shamanism. So basically, now what I do, I'm probably more neo. Some people say a neo shaman, which is somebody who knew. Obviously, neo meaning new.
Mm-hmm.
I don't journey as much as I used to, but I can kind of just stop and settle down and reach out and feel out and become a hollow bone, and it comes to me then. And when I say becoming a hollow bone, it's like a meditation that I do that Frank Fools Crow shared with folks. And he was a Lakota Sioux medicine man, a great holy man, which was Joshua Khan. He shared that with many people. I actually knew people that knew him. And so he taught us that and shared that with us. And so whenever I teach a class, I don't know if you've been around, I think you probably have. I'll do that sometimes in some of these events or some of these expos and stuff. I'll do it in a class.
Right.
But that gets me settled down to where I need to be. And also just staying mindful where you're at and what you're doing. And when you're driving a car, drive a car. Just be present in the moment all the time. And that really helps, because then your spirit's right there. If you pile a bunch of crap on top of it in your mind is working a mile a minute. And it was a D.T. Suzuki was a Japanese Zen master. And he was one of the people that brought Zen Buddhism to the United States. And he was giving a lecture one time. And he was started talking about the Western mind, you know, how Westerners think. And he goes, well, the Western mind, he goes, like monkey mind. He goes, you people all have trees in your mind. And on these trees are 50, 60 monkeys. And the monkeys chatter all the time. And you're just lost. And you're trying to put your attention to all these different monkeys. He goes, you got to get the monkeys to shut up. And you do. You calm them. You got to give the monkeys something to do. So, you just drive. You don't think about anything else, and it shuts the monkeys up. And you're just driving, and you're there, and spirit's flowing through you. It's weird, but it doesn't. That's how we're taught to think. And we try to solve problems, and we have no way we're going to solve them in the car coming home from
Yeah.
home. Not going to happen, okay? It's not going to happen. You got to stay in the here and now. Stay totally
right.
present. And it's really helpful.
It's interesting because the way that you were just describing it to me, people will ask me all the time with what I do kind of how it works. And I've told them before that it's like I'm in a room full of people who are all talking at the same time, but I have to focus on the one conversation, and then it doesn't get overwhelming. It used to be when I listened to all the noise, that's when it was overwhelming. But when I focused, that's when it got to be, it's like, this is not overwhelming anymore. So,
right.
I don't know, that's just what that reminded me of when you were saying that.
Yeah, you know, part of, and you know, you do readings and things like that. Yeah, I do readings and what, and you do these big conventions or big events, and there's people talking and carrying on. So you've got to learn how to focus. And my teacher,
Absolutely.
A really good teacher, he's a Mohican Indian. He taught me tarot and numerology, of all things. He was very well versed in all sorts of different types of psychic and spiritual stuff. And he lived just a little bit north of Chicago, and I didn't used to live too far from Chicago, so I used to go up and see him and get teachings and stuff. And he told me, he goes, if you can't do your thing, if you can't work your medicine in the median of the Dan Ryan Expressway at rush hour, you don't have it yet. And that's what you have to do. You shut it out, and you know this because I, you know, all of a sudden when you get into that zone, and you know, and anybody, most of you out there have been here listening, have been to some type of one of these events, you know, an expo or a Hanukkah like we just witnessed that, which was a lovely time.
It was so much fun.
That you know, but it's this blaze of just noise and conversation. And I tell you what, you get down and you sit down with the person that you're working with, your client, and all of a sudden, boom, it's like a cone of silence comes down and you don't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I literally, when I'm doing, and I've done readings for 8 hours before, one after another, and you don't think about eating, you don't think about drinking, you don't hear anything, you are just totally focused on what you're doing. And working on the psychic and building up that connection with the person you're working with. And that means you're in the timeless. That's what Joseph Campbell says, you know, you're in your bliss. You're in the timeless. Time means nothing. I mean, it's all, you're just totally focused. I spent an event up in Manila. One of those days where I didn't really intend to do readings and somebody, it was real slow. And we were up at a school up in Manila and it was really slow. And so some lady said, hey, you do reading. I said, yeah, sure, why not?
Right.
And so, and from then on, I had my head down.
Yep.
Until the place was ready to shut down. One after another after another. And I had no plan to do that, but it's like one person told another person. And all of a sudden, there's one time, and I had my son was with me, Max was with me, and he's writing the list down and stuff like that. And so it was really weird. I mean, not weird, I guess, but, and it's like, I didn't even think about it. I was so pretty hungry and stuff by the time we were done. But yeah, it was I think I might have taken a 10-minute break to get a soda or something like that. This is right back to it. And you don't think about being tired. I learned a long time ago not to just go on your own energy, that you bring the energy of spirit through you.
Right.
Let it help you.
You
show you your own
energy.
Yeah. And Earth's always got plenty. The sky's always got plenty, more than you'll ever use. And let that flow be the whole time. And it's just like, I'm not using my whole thing. If I do cleansing, healing work, any of that stuff, I'm not using my energy. I mean, it's part of me, but my job is to become our job is to become a vessel to let the spiritual energy come through and get the hell out of its way. And let it take
I always
over.
Refer to myself as the monkey in the middle. So, literally am just the conduit that's making the connection for them. That's all I am. So,
definitely. And that's what we are. I mean, and if we start thinking it's about us or if it's about egos or about our energy, you're screwed.
No, I
back
literally am the monkey in the middle. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
you're
I'm
going
okay
back
with
and
that.
Forth.
Mm-hmm. I am perfectly fine with that. So I've always wondered with shamanism, and this has been a question with me. I've known about it for quite a while, but obviously getting to know you better, I'm learning more and more as I go. Do you think that shamans are, I'm trying to think how to word this question, like you have to be predestined to be a shaman, or like your hand picked, can anybody be a shaman? Or
I don't know. There are so many different shamanic traditions. You have 500 something in the United States. You're talking about tribes. There's 500 something different Native American tribes in the United States. They all have their own shamanic traditions. They're all different. There might be some similarities in respect to what they do. Like some of them pray with the pipe and use the pipe in ceremony. Some of them don't. But there are some people that believe, yes, it has to be passed down through the family. Example of that is, I'm not sure what the Crow Dog family's total belief system is, but they're generational medicine, and the Crow Dog family is up in Pine Ridge. So there's some, there are some beliefs that, it has to be passed down. Others that you have to be let me think. It's you are predestined. Some of them think that you have to the elder shaman picks you. Some people think that the tribe itself, if they once start to see somebody acting in an odd fashion, a younger child in an odd fashion, that they are probably being blessed with that ability, and so they are kind of like, okay, you're going to go study with these guys. Our culture is terrible at this. That's why we have so many people who are insane, because they're different.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not sure that's the whole thing about schizophrenia, but there are definitely some people out there that have checked out because they don't know where to go. They're just different. And so that was embraced in tribal cultures. But I cannot answer your question. I honestly, I thought about it a lot. Why me? I had to get over that, because I'm like, see, this doesn't belong. This, I might have a little bit of blood quantity, not much, if any, of Native blood. But why was this passed me? And I don't know. But you know what, Kelly? I quit asking that question.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't find the answer. And after a while, I said, well, damn it, I've got it, so I'm not saying no to it. And when I did that, more stuff opened up for me.
Well,
I quit wondering about it.
You're exactly what I would think a shaman should be. I know that's kind of like stereotyping, and I don't mean to do that, but
I don't know what a typical shaman is. I really don't. I mean, I appreciate the comment, and I hope that it's you're right. But it's like, I don't know. Some of them act, they all act differently, I think. But I think it's just like regular people. But, you know, maybe my medicine is more conducive to working with people directly. Some of them aren't like that, you know, or they're like
yeah.
people differently than I would. So I don't know. I hope so.
It's just always something that, and it's so weird because I would say throughout growing up, I haven't ever been that drawn to the Native American or the shamanism side of it. And yet, there's something about it that like speaks to my soul, you know,
sure.
'cause you'll get out your drum and you start drumming and I instantly am someplace else, you know,
that's
and
that's what happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird. I'm so drawn to the music and so drawn to the, I don't even know what to say that I'm drawn to, but
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, no, you got to follow and see where it takes you.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly, it doesn't mean it. Yeah, it's a first step. That's the first step with me. I went to
well,
a
you're
powwow.
Definitely branching me out. Definitely.
Well, that's good. Good. That's what I do.
Good.
That's what I'm supposed to do.
It is good. There was a. We'll talk about the ceremonies here in just a second that you do. But when we were down in Farrar, you did this grounding meditation, I think is what you called it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you did different. I've been to a lot of meditations throughout my time. But, I mean, when you do like a shamanic meditation, when you did that
mm-hmm.
type of, do you remember which one I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it different than what the rest of us would call a meditation? Because it was different for me. Let me put it that way.
Well, one thing I did, and most people don't see me do this, because I do it well before we go out there, we go do this, is I go out and talk to the spirits before we even do anything. I go out and ask their permission, you know, explain what we're doing. Because the spirits are there, you get, especially in a place like where we were. Very, very, thick with energy and all these things that had gone on there. And I'm not talking about Ferrari itself and what happened inside, well, stuff that happens inside, but I'm talking about outside.
Outside.
The land is
outside.
So powerful. And it's like, and there's always like the spirits of the people live there, but there's also the elemental spirits as well. That's just not in Europe, the Fae, or, you know, the Fae is what they call them in Europe. I'm not sure what to call them over here. For lack of a better term, I'll probably use that. I mean, there are some elementals that are
mm-hmm.
named, like Sasquatch, or the Big Man. They call them, a lot of tribes call them Big Man. So you've got your Bigfoot, and you've got your little people, which in... I used to know the Cherokee name for them. It is Puckwudgie up in the northeast. We went looking for Puckwudgie up when I was at Hinsdale House with Dan Klass.
I was going to say, that's what you talked about with Dan at Hinsdale,
So there's all these other things. I mean, you can go outside and be cool with Mother Nature and stuff and do meditations. That's great. It won't hurt, you know. But to me... it's kind of my thing. I'm in touch with the earth. I'm trying to be in touch with the people. I mean, there's things that live around my house that I know. And I'm, you know, I don't want to use the word friend because it's a whole different sort of relationship. You know, we're cool with each other, you know, and we respect each other. And so that type of thing, because there's just power there that it's so hard to even understand. But,
yeah.
But when you get the spirit of the place involved in what you're doing, and then while during the ceremony you talk to the spirits of the place and you welcome them and you know, ask them to come in and to hear us and for us to hear them, and to, we want to include you, we want, you know, we feel bad for what happened in the past, and we're here to honor you, we're here to listen to you, and you know, and you're not going out there and say, you know, and you know, threatening and that kind of garbage. You're out there, you know, paying them homage. You're out there connecting with them. And it just makes, to me, it makes a difference. And the first time I did that, it all of a sudden, it wasn't something I did for a long time. I started doing it a couple of years ago because it just struck me. How it happened, I was doing an event down in this place in Missouri called Valley Mines. It's an old mining town. You know, that part of southeast Missouri is lead mines and things like that. Both my grandparents, they were from that area, and they were both lead miners. We went to this place, and it's just, I mean, their cabin, they were built in 1749. And that place was really alive. But you had these other cabins, too, and they built in the early to later 1800s, you know, across the road from the main house. And so, I mean, the main house had slave quarters in the back and that kind of stuff. But it was just off the hook. But I was sensing that there was something else there. But, you know, it's hard to put your finger on because I was used to investigating inside. But we were in Wainwright's cabin, a wagon maker. And this does happen to me sometimes. We were in there. We had a medium with us. We were saving the 1749 house to the end. And so, but, you know, we'd gotten some hits at some of these other cabins, and other stuff was coming through. And we get in this Wainwright's cabin. It's built in 1850, something like that. Lots, you know, continuously lived in prior to, like, the 1940s, 50s, something like that. And dead, nothing. And we're waiting there. We're standing around, and the medium looks at me. She goes, "Chris, yes. They don't like you." Okay. No, and this happens. And I said, "Okay, no, I get it." And I wasn't offended. I said, "Okay, Melissa, that's fine. You know, I'll go stand out. I'll go hang around outside here." Because I can, I sometimes get spirits to leave houses. And so I have a different way of going about that that's not as friendly as what I am, especially if they're bothering children. That I'm not as friendly about. And then the shamanic stuff comes to play in a different way. But so anyway, I went outside, and all of a sudden I see all these little sparkly lights on the ground. Well, that's really cool. Look at those fireflies. We weren't fireflies. Color's all wrong. He walked up to them, and all of a sudden it was like a whole line of this light would go back. Would move away from you. And it was totally dry. There was no dew in the grass. It wasn't coming off the light of the moon or anything like that. So I stepped back, and here they come. So I go, "Oh, these are little fairy lights. How cool."
Yeah.
And all of a sudden in the back of these trees, I see this red light, red ball light just move through the trees. And I thought, you know, somebody's driving a pickup truck or something back through there. And I found later there's no road back there. And one of the locals, somebody goes, "No, we see that shit all the time." I'm like, okay. And so we're out there. And so like everybody came out and said, "We get in a circle," and the little lights came out and danced. And then, you know, and of course, you know, it takes me a while to figure shit out. And so we finally got to the very end of the night. Went to 1749. Great stuff was going on there. There some old generals in there and stuff like that. And we went out and I said, "Let's see if we get in a circle." And like we're real close to what we did it for our, and we're right by this wooded area. Because we're in a valley, Valley Mines. It's literally a valley. There's two foothills of something. I mean, probably the very, very, very beginning of the Ozarks. I mean, the Ouachita, anyway. And so we get in, we're by these trees, we do the drumming, and, you know, I talk to the spirits, all, you know, I'm finally getting the hang of this. And all of a sudden the trees start just rustling back and forth, and there's no wind. And I checked out, I told the story the other day at an event last weekend. And this Gina, Passerante, was there, and she had been with us that night. She's with Three Girls in the Dark. And she goes, "Oh, my God." She goes, "You're right." You know, I said, "Yeah." And so, ever since then, that's been my passion is I'll go inside and investigate. That's my favorite thing to do is to go out and talk to spirits outside. You can take your gear out there, too. You know, K2s are going off. They did Hinsdale all over the place outside. So it's that's how I get into it.
It's an entirely different thing, too, because, I mean, I'd been out to Edinburgh. I can't even tell you how many times before we'd went out there that time and you're like, "Let's go outside," you know? And I'd been out and walked around the building a couple times, but even then I wasn't really letting myself feel the ground, you know? And that was that was a crazy experience, and it doesn't even compare to Farrar. So
no.
Actually,
were you with us that first time we were up there? Were you there that night?
When you guys were out in the Potter's Field?
Yeah, when Nick and
no,
I, and
I wasn't
were out
there for that.
I'd
heard about it, but I wasn't there for that one. Well,
that's what we had these.
I think I was there, but I didn't go out there with you guys.
Yeah, I mean,
I
think
that
was
the
first
time I met you.
Yeah, it wasn't organized. I'd been out there, and I was out there checking things out, and I saw a shadow figure walk down the fence line in the back of the building, back past the house, back past the caretaker's house there. I thought, well, that's cool. So I went back there. I'm like, oh, this is kind of neat. So I went back and I got my son. We got Max, and Nick Simon's tagged along. This lady named Rox. I just love Rox. She comes to some of our events sometimes. She looks at me and goes, I'm going with you. You know where the crazy shit is. I said, okay, let's go. There's about six or seven of us out there.
Oh, Roxy.
And,
I know who you're talking about. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, Rox.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, she was at Renwick with us one time. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes, she Renwick. And so she came out. We're all out there, and all of a sudden, here come these shadow figures, and we're out in the Potter's Field, the Pauper's Graveyard. And so we kind of walked up a little further, and I think this is cool. So, well, this is really neat. And they would, like, run at us, and then, trying to play chicken or trying to scare us or something like that. But you could see their outlines in the farmers. They had those farmers' houses out there and stuff. And you see those lights disappear. Like, you see, like, a head and shoulders, shadows. There's about five or six of them. It would, vary at times. But I'm like, these dudes are all in the house and they're missing this. And even when you and I went out there, when we did Edinburgh again,
mm-hmm.
we still got, there was a, I might have saw one shadow figure, but we had so much other crazy stuff going on that it was we got the vortexes and stepping on graves of people who've been buried alive and things like that. So it's all madness out there. So I just love it. I love going outside. Because, you got things place. You take Farrar. There's no really good reason why Farrar's haunted. But you build a school on top of a piece of ground that's got a ton of energy coming out of it. Then things are going to come visit. And that's what they do. Most of the spirits in there are transitory. They come here to check it out. They may stay. But they were, they're not really part of the history. So it's kind of the way I see it.
Yeah. So explain to the people listening kind of when we do go outside to do like your ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's, again, I'm asking you to wrap this up in a nutshell, but what do you do? I mean, can you kind of walk them through the experience?
Okay. Let me think. Because, it's weird when I go do this stuff, I don't think about it until I do it.
I know.
I never plan. I mean, I have a basic outline about what, we're going to circle up, we're going to do songs, we're going to talk to spirits, we're going to introduce ourselves, and that's a given right there.
Mm-hmm.
But from there, I don't know. But okay, but so what I do is I get to a place, and I do this with any place, actually. I always like, wherever I go, and whenever I've gone to a haunted location, I've always liked to walk around outside first anyway,
mm-hmm.
and see what the outside looks like, see what it feels like, and then I and then, you get your energy up and you kind of check things. You can kind of see things in the house and things like that before you actually go in. So, but in this case, what I do is I go and I just stay outside. And I do basically the same thing. I'll look for graves or feel if I don't look for them, I feel for them. Anything, any kind of crazy anomalies, I'll try to feel the, what kind of energy it has. I hit a client one time. This lady lived out in the country, and she thought, something was, bad spirits there or something like that. Because she was an artist, and she all of a sudden felt uncreative. She has problems interacting with people and all these other things like that. And so I said, okay, I come out. So I did a little work with her and stuff. I said, something's just odd. Something's different here. So I went over for a walk around the outside, and bang, I run into a vortex. So it's on the outside of the house, but I kept following it towards the house, and it kept going inside the house. And walked right past, went in her house, went to the room where it was at. It was her bedroom. Half of it was inside the house. I feel like I got ants crawling on me. I said, well, no wonder you're a mess. And I explained to her what was going on. She eventually moved, and she's doing real good. So you check those. I'm checking for energy. usually in the day, the spirits aren't usually walking around, but it doesn't mean you're not going to come across one. They're usually not, unless it's under the trees. If there's an old big tree there, you bet I'm gonna find it, and I'm gonna feel the energy come out of that and see if there's something to talk to. If for our 265-year-old oak tree out in the front yard, just what a marvelous thing of nature. It's amazing. She's just an amazing thing, and it was probably a ceremonial tree and all these. You just feel all the things going on. So basically, I go out and I feel around, and I trust what comes in my head, because I empty my head up. Okay, I shut the monkeys up. So I get flashes of things, and then, so I might feel maybe this is there, so it sort of gives me a little bit of history in its own way. Mm-hmm. It's only going to show me things, basically. It can tell you the whole thing. A guy should be standing there for 5 hours with all this going through your head, and it flashes on what you need to know. And I've learned to accept that. You're going to tell me what I need to know to go from here, and so I go out and I scout the place. I go over the whole area, and so I do that night, and then I will stop and I go to where I feel is like the most powerful place where Farrar is the tree. And Farrar, all you don't know about Farrar, it is a schoolhouse in Maxwell, Iowa, not too far from Des Moines, about 20 minutes from Des Moines. Schoolhouse in a very small town in the middle of nowhere, and it's haunted as the day is long. And so, but there's this very large tree there. And so, I go to that spot. I go to that my field's most powerful spot, for ours, a tree. And I just go there, and I talk to the tree first. And you feel, hey, he talks to trees. And the thing about this tree, every tree, every rock in many of the shamanic traditions, or the natural way of thinking about things, everything has a spirit to it. Now, this tree, not only does it have a tree itself, but it also has a tree spirit. It's elemental. It's something extra. It's like an extra entity is in it it makes it so much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I go there, and I introduce myself. I tell them what my intentions are. I might bring some tobacco or something and give it an offering, or I'll burn some sage or something just to let it know my intent. And I put my heart into it because I really mean what I do when I do this stuff. And they know that. If you go up there and bullshit, I could tell you exactly what to say, or what you could say. You could go up there and read that, wouldn't mean anything if you didn't have your heart into it. You got to have your heart into it.
Right.
You have to mean what you say. And that's like anything else spiritual. If you're Wiccan or anything like that, if you're doing a spell, you have to mean what you say or it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I ask for, tell them I'm going to do. I hope you're okay with this. I want to enlighten I want to be enlightened. There'll be some people here coming with us tonight. They want to be enlightened. They want to see. They want to hear what you have to say, and they want to learn. They want to honor you, because so when we do circle, we don't put up little crap. If you're in a goof, I've pitched people. I said, go sit over there because you're going to get us in trouble. And I'm not going to deal with your stupid ass, getting messed up because you're going to be disrespectful. And then we get that straight. I do that. Now, you just get there. If I ever got a feeling, I said, you better not, I wouldn't do it. Okay, I never really announced to people, I'm going to do it. I'm going to circle, I'm going to do this. I never tell people, I'm going to do this, and this. I'm going to say, we're going to go outside.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying? I never promise anything like a ceremony like that. So I'm going to go outside, do some drama maybe, but I never tell people exactly what I'm going to do. Even though everybody's listening now, so I bet he's going to do that next time. I mean that. If the spirit, if the land tell, if you know, if they tell me not to, I'm not going to do it. I will not do it. And so
he may just go outside and bang his drunk as he likes to.
Yeah, I might just do that. We'll do something. But so far so good. I've not been told no. That the spirits of these places, the ones that don't want to talk to you are going to be gone anyway. The ones that are still there, they. When we did Farrar, we had our friend Dan had a geobox, which allows spirits to speak to it. And the grandmother tree spirit had a distinct voice. And we heard it several times, and even heard it the next night when we weren't even outside. And we were talking, and the caretaker there is Will Conklin. Will's a dear friend of ours, and his wife Jacqueline.
Yep.
And Will at this time knew something was up. He couldn't quite connect with it, and we did the ceremony, we did everything, he finally had that, and he, bang, he had that flash and a connection. And so we were asking, and she was talking, and Grandma was, you know, talking little snatch, you know, little bits and pieces. And she seemed to be interested in Will. And I said, well, what do you want us to do? What do you want Will to do? And she goes, tell our story. Plain as day. And there it is. She wanted a story, you know. And before that, Will had been working on the history of the place and what natives were there and stuff. He really started doing that. And so that attracted their attention. They always were interested in him. They always loved him because he took care of the place.
Right.
Now, you know, they see what he's doing. This all of a sudden, bang, we're going to make this connection and, you know, tell our story. And so that's his job right now. And he's working on it. You know, it's not easy, but, you know, it worked for him.
But he's the perfect person for it. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go. No, oh, I forgot I was going to say go ahead and go.
I was going to say, you know, at that point, I'd done several of these circles with you, and for us Muggle Shaman people who are out there with you, it's so interesting because as we're standing in our circle, and we were standing in a big circle around this tree that he's talking about, this big old beautiful oak tree, and he starts doing his drumming and his songs, and I don't know that everybody could feel it. I think other people were feeling it as well from the looks on faces and the chatter that was going on, but you could feel the spirits go, we know this music. We know this man. We know this energy. Mm-hmm. We're going to, and he literally was calling the energy in. It was the coolest thing. And both at Edinburgh and Farrar, I mean, you could literally see, you could see them if you can see spirits. You could see the spirits walking into the circle with us. It was the coolest thing.
They do that. They come to see us, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even for me, for someone who, I mean, I talk to spirits, I see spirits there. It was so awe-inspiring for me to see them not just come to communicate with you, but to be a part of that experience. It was, I don't know, it's just something entirely different. If you guys have never had a chance to be a part of a circle with Chris, definitely, or even anybody, I strongly recommend it. It's something entirely different. If you've only ever just walked in the psychic medium world, this is, it's just something different. It taps you in at a deeper, more guttural level. I don't know how to say it other than that, but
it's
really
it's primal. That's the Mother Earth energy. It's really primal. It just expands. I mean, I just every time I'm able to do it, and the spirits come to see us, and it mostly always happens. It's like I just feel so blessed, you know, and so glad that whatever little I can do can you know, bring them to come see us and to, you know, talk to us. And, you know, you meet these interactions, you know, like the people you're talking about, the people, and even afterwards, the people are kind of standing around. We invite everybody to walk away from the tree and go out and investigate. We kept trying, and people would just naturally come back and gravitate around the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the look, and it's like the looks on people's faces. I'll never forget. I mean, some guys are hardcore investigators. I never forget the looks in their faces. And I'm just so glad I was able to put a circle, you know, to bring this energy, these things into, to touch these folks. And like I said, it's not me. It's I'm just smart enough to know to get, like I said, get the hell out of the way.
Help make that connection. You know, you definitely help make that connection. And I know you and I have talked about this, but to kind of share with everybody else. So you guys have all heard me talk before that I'm a firm believer everything has energy, not just people, not just spirits, but the earth, the trees, the animals, everything has energy to it. And I believe that wholeheartedly. But prior
Einstein,
to Farrar,
Einstein proved that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But prior to Farrar, had you asked me, Kelly, can you talk to a tree? I'd be like, no. No, trees don't talk. Are you silly? Trees don't talk. trees can tell you history. They may talk to you by sharing, you know, the history might be shared with you. And that's kind of where my brain went. And I'm out here, and we've just done this circle with him, and we kind of did a little bit of walking around. And like he said, I kept gravitating back towards this tree. And I'm telling you, the damn thing was talking to me. And it was the craziest,
she was beautiful,
most surreal experience. And it was moving, and it was crazy. It was crazy awesome.
I know. It's the first time it happened to me. I thought, holy moly. But, yeah, it's like they do talk to you. I mean, they talk to us in different ways. I mean, to me, it comes to my heart, you know, and whatnot. And it's hard to describe how the message comes across. But, yeah. And this,
so cool. So cool. So tell us what you have coming up here in the future. You've got a new endeavor. Are we able to talk about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in there. We actually officially announced it at HauntedCon in Omaha. And if anybody from HauntedCon is listening, you guys did a freaking great job, Jamie.
That
and everybody
was an
else.
Amazing
you guys are,
show.
You guys are amazing. Next year, guys, you know, if you guys have listened and, you know, can make it this year, go next year if they have it. Because it was
definitely
just a great time. Let's see. Coming up next, I have on the 12th, this is a sold-out event, sorry, but the Sutton Family Paranormal Investigation to Mineral Springs is going to be next Friday. Week from this Friday, be the 12th. And so, yes, Julie and I and Emily and Max are all going to go out together, and this is going to be a riot.
If I had not been busy, I'd have been there, because that
would
have been
so
much fun.
Yeah, you've met everybody except for Emily, I think, out of my family.
I haven't ever met Emily, no. But
no, she doesn't. You'll see her. You'll meet her in June when you come down here. So, yeah, you'll get to meet her then. Okay, what we were talking about earlier, I'll be doing a show on Vidispace. It's Vidi.space. You can look it up that way. And it's a internet platform for lots of different shows and things like that. It's a pay thing, but it's not too much. You know, it's funny. I have a subscription to it. I forget how much it is. You know, because they just take it out of my card every month.
I want to say it's down to like $9.95 a month now.
It's $9.95 a month. There's a ton of stuff, a whole lot of different stuff on there.
So much.
Josh Hurd's Brush with Evil 1, 2, and 3 are on there.
Johnny Hauser versus was on there.
Johnny Hauser, our friend Johnny. There's my show on Sacred Ground. Kelly's on both of those with me. That's on Amazon Prime. Now, you can also get stuff on Amazon Prime from the channel, but I'm just talking about Vidispace itself. So, you know, Kelly's on there with me for the Edinburgh episode and also for the Farrar episode. But starting next month, well, actually supposed to be this month sometime, we don't have the release date yet. So we're just kind of playing it by ear. But we do have, you know, shows ready to go and whatnot. Charla Hardin, Girls versus Ghosts, who's this is Girls versus Ghosts Radio Network.
She's our
and
producer.
Yes, she's the producer. Is she listening?
I don't think so. I think she had something else going on tonight, but she was going to listen to the playback.
Okay. Okay, so I don't say anything bad about her. Okay. Not that I would. But Charla and I are doing a show called The Spirit Drum, and it's going to be on twice a month, and it's basically going to be about spirituality. It's not about the paranormal, although there'll be some references to that. And our first guest, well, I can't say who that is yet, that we're going to have on has roots and has some, you know, ties to the paranormal. But it's basically going to be, the show is basically about bringing different types of spiritual paths to people, or spiritual ideas, or different, you know, types of philosophies, religions, to people, to, you know, to help them broaden their horizons, and also to help people who are on their spiritual path and to inspire them to, you know, to other things, and, you know, to broaden themselves and to believe in themselves. That's such a big thing, and remind everybody that, you know, everybody's got medicine, everybody's got a gift from spirit. So yeah, that's the reason we put that together because I get known for a lot of paranormal stuff, but I'm really, the shamanism is what is in my heart. This is what I really do, is the spiritual stuff.
You are a healer.
Yeah, and they come together, though. I mean, I started shamanism well before the paranormal, but I started doing paranormal stuff in 1998. And I started doing the shaman stuff in 1993. That sounds right. Yeah, it's been 26 years. Almost 27, something, I don't know, I get caught up in numbers, but it basically it's just to talk about that sort of thing and get different people to see different things about what's going on in the world. We get too tunnel visioned about religion and spirituality, and there's so many people that, you know, want to find a way for that's right for them, and it's so far hard to find that, especially you live in some areas where if you don't live near a large city, it's hard to find something. But it's also, you know, you get to talk to people or listen to people who will bring you different ideas and, you know, ways that you can find how to follow those paths and whatnot. I mean, I've got a couple of really, you know, things that some people would maybe be offended by, but there's, you know, some of the most beautiful people in the world. But I can't give out too much because, you know, we haven't really announced who's going to be on stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, there's just going to be a lot of different things, but, it's, you know, Sharla is so good at grounding everything and asking questions and things, and which allowed me to just take off, which is what I need. You know, because, you know, if you've heard me tonight, you see how I go. So to kind of round me back in. So, I mean, and so she's a good, yeah, she is. And she and I are already working really well together. And I'm very happy with that. And I couldn't ask for much better. I will say that than Charlotte. And so I'm pleased and I'm, you know, very happy that we're doing this. And, you know, I had to quit doing this on sacred grounds because, it's just not bragging or anything, but I can't do them anymore because I'm under a contract to a production company. So I can't go out, and my little contract says I cannot do unscripted paranormal videos or shows. And if I put anything on there, it would constitute, I'd be breaking my contract.
Right.
When I'm doing these things, I'm not breaking my contract. So I can do that. But we were talking earlier, something, you know, happens like, oh crap, I can't do this anymore. And I felt bad about it. But I said, wait a minute, you know, because the video space is going to have the inspirational space. I thought, aha, you know, here's a loophole. And so, because that's why I love doing it anyway. I mean, I love doing I don't get me wrong, I like doing the paranormal, you know, the paranormal videos and work and shows and stuff. But by golly, this is my wheelhouse. And so I can do both. You know, maybe someday, if, you know, my contract will be over with that stuff if our show doesn't get picked up, and that's cool. It's just one of those things like, yeah, cool. If it does, cool. If it doesn't, I go back to doing both, you know. So
right, yep.
Geez, I'm gonna have to retire so I can get enough time to do everything. So and it's not that
darn
it's not that far away.
Get in the way.
Oh,
yeah,
it is. I'm a lottery hit away from getting to retire, but no, it's not quite that bad. But I'll be doing that. And you know, stay tuned to my, you know, you can find me at www.coyotechris.com. And see on Facebook, I'm Christopher Sutton, and my what they people call like pages or public person pages, it's Coyote Chris Sutton. Twitter and Instagram, it's at Coyote Chris S. So, you know, we can always see what I'm doing. Cause I will shamelessly promote myself, but I also shamelessly promote my friends. That's why I never get on trouble on Facebook. I don't say what I'm thinking. All right.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun.
I promote myself. I promote my friends. I put out pictures of my family and puppies, and that's about it. although I one of my favorite one of my causes right now is helping get relief for the Native people up in Pine Ridge and in up there because of the flooding, and also some of the Natives in Nebraska. And up through there, it's just awful. And so,
Chris Case.
Yeah, Chris Case is so great about doing that kind of stuff too. So, and he's doing a video on Pine Ridge. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see that.
I
just met Chris. I just met Chris, and you know, last, you know, a couple weeks ago, and what a great guy. I'm like, geez, why didn't I meet this guy before? Because he and I are lined up in a lot of things. And so, but yeah, but you know, time, you know, it takes you when you meet people, you need to meet them. So he and I'm sure, I have no doubt he and I will be doing some stuff in the future.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Oh, he is. He's just, I met so many cool people last that weekend. I mean, and Kelly and I were right next to each other. That was a riot. Me and Kelly and Mom.
That was a good time. Yep. And Dan,
Mama Pat.
Troublemaker Dan was right across the aisle from
right
us.
Right across.
So.
And then Chewy and Jacqueline from the Farrar house were across from us.
Yeah, they were across.
Maddie and,
It was,
that's what's
it was
fun
good
about
time.
These guys. Is that you get into this and for a while and you get to meet know people and you see each other, you know, it's like family. And so it's always so good to get together and to be with one another. One thing I do want to make sure that everybody knows about, we don't have all the details put together yet, but clear your calendars, because, you know, we just talked a lot about the Farrar schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get your chance. This is going to be your big chance with it, because I'm going to be there. And Kelly's going to be there. A couple other people.
Sure,
we don't have everything nailed together yet. Huh?
I wasn't sure if we were going to talk about it. I was going to ask you next. So are we telling now?
Shit, yeah, we're telling. We're telling because I want to put this in people's minds now. We're putting it again because we've already got, you know, the owners are on board and Will and Jacqueline are on board. So what the hell?
All right, listeners, you are the very first to hear about this. So
that's
write
right.
it down.
And I'm all fired up anyway, so we're talking. August the 10th, it's a Saturday.
Yep.
We will, Kelly and I, and I'm not going to announce the other guys yet because we're still waiting to make sure they're on board. And, you know, we're still, you know, it's still fluid right now. With a date solid, Kelly and I are solid. On August the 10th, we will be at the Farrar Schoolhouse for an event. It'll be inside and outside investigation.
Absolutely.
She's outside with the coyote. And we're going to be raising money for Will and Jacqueline, our friends who are the caretakers of Farrar Schoolhouse, Will and Jacqueline Conkle. Talk about, you know, rough luck and whatnot. What
right?
else?
I mean, the spring that they've had has just been.
Oh. And, you know, Will's got to have surgery. You know, Will's a contractor. Their money comes from, you know, Jacqueline works some, and Will is a contractor. He's a big breadwinner, and if he can't walk, he can't work, and that's kind of where he's at right now. He's got a broken bone in his foot. They're going to have surgery here next week. So he's got all this stuff, you know. I mean, I can't even, if you know Will and Jacqueline, just wonderful people who do anything
people.
In the world for you and just had the worst luck.
And humble,
now, is there
workers.
Some,
yeah.
Very hard workers. Now, are they going to come out from this okay? I know they are. We're going to help them along because that night we're going to, any profit we make is going to go to Will and Jacqueline.
Yep.
I'm coming up. I live by St. Louis. I'm going to come up there on my own dime. I'm going to stay on my own dime. You guys just show up. If the money's not going to me or to Kelly or anybody else, it's all going to Will and Jacqueline.
Absolutely.
And this is how much I love both of them. That doesn't bother me in the least. Let's do this.
No, not at all.
Super and so on, but yeah,
and like,
but
like Chris said, for sure, him and I are going to be there August 10th, and there is potential we're going to have a couple other fun names with us. So
definitely
stay tuned once we get that locked in.
Yeah, make sure one's not going to jail, but we'll wait and see about that.
Oh.
No,
you know, I would toss
if
a coin on with one, but I don't think I have to. I'm a betting girl, and I'm going to put big money on which one you're talking about.
If he were listening, he knows I'm talking about him. So,
yeah,
and not that he's really at risk of going to jail, but he's got something else going on. So,
he's a good time. So.
But we're going to be there. So yeah, it's just one of those things where you just it's a labor of love, and it's it was weird, Kelly. I don't know if I've told you this or not. You know how I got drawn to Farrar? Did I ever tell you that story?
I don't think so.
I was watching. I happened to watch Ghost Stalkers, and Ghost Stalkers ran for 6 episodes on Destination America, and I love that show. John Tenney, Chad Lindbergh. And who's an actor. And then David Roundtree was a tech guy, you know, I'd bring in the tech stuff. And I was watching it one time, and they did the For Our Schoolhouse. And I am not only some people, hardcore investigators, and I love them to death, and I get what they're, where they're coming from, the tech stuff and whatnot, scientific. And it's like, I got to go here, I got to go to Bobby Mackey's, I've got to go to Mansfield, I've got to go here, I've got to go there. And I get that. That's really cool. I mean, it's like I used to try to go as many baseball stadiums as I could when I was younger. Because I love baseball. But it's like I was watching. I'm not like that. I go where I'm called. Mm-hmm. I never make a special pilgrimage to go anywhere. Hey, Chris, we're having an event. Come to this place. Okay, let's go. Hey, man, we got problems this place. Okay, let's go. And so I was watching this show, Ghost Stalkers, and it's got For Our Schoolhouse there. And I'm watching. I'm like, I have to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I never, ever am I like that. You have to go there. So I called my buddy Wes Forsythe after, you know, a couple weeks after. I said, dude, we got to have an event. And Wes does it. He's the main man at Scarefest Radio.
Right.
A good friend of mine. And he goes, okay, you know, we'll have an event there. And I'm like, you know, I've never done an event before. Shit. I mean, I called Jim Oliver, and Jim and Nancy Oliver owned the place up. And I talked to Jim, and Jim goes, okay, this is what you got. This is how much you got to pay us to do it. I said, okay. And so I get that information. I'm like, and I call Wes up. I said, dude, you know, I mean, that time, I mean, this is, we're talking 3 or 4 years ago. Nobody in Iowa knew who the hell Wes and I were.
Right.
We might have knew a few people. That was, you know, I didn't know anybody. I'm trying to think who came. I know. Now I would do it in a heart to drop a hex. I know so many people up there. But at the time, I didn't. And so why the hell I'm doing it in Iowa? I have no idea. And so I said, let's call Elizabeth Saint up. Because we knew her through Wes's show. I said, call Elizabeth up. Never call her Liz because she gets pissed off.
Nope,
it's either L or Elizabeth. And so we get hold of Elizabeth and say, I tell her, I said, listen, and she's living out by Denver at that time. I said, Elizabeth, I said, Wes and I are doing this gig at Farrar. I said, I the only thing I can offer you is half the gate. And we hadn't sold, you know, this is before we sold any tickets. And she goes, oh yeah, no problem. And so she, you know, on her own dime comes up, you know, and gets her own place. She didn't want to stay where we're staying because it's too nasty. So she went and stayed someplace nice. We were at Motel 6, you know. And they had like a dog show in town, you know, and of course all the dogs came and stayed at the Motel 6. And so that was real nice. But anyway, we might have had 10 people sign up. So Elizabeth probably got $150 out of the whole, bless her heart, and she doesn't hate me to this day because of that. You know, and so I kind of made up for it later on, but a little bit. But anyway, and so we did the event. That was just whetting my appetite. We did it all, mostly inside, but even while I was in there the whole time inside, I'm thinking, damn, I should be outside. And that's why but it's like it was calling to me. Someone was calling me outside at the time. I wasn't quite with it yet. By then I met Will and Jacqueline there. Now they're, you know, my gosh, they're my best friends and, you know, in the world. And I met these cool people and a couple other people and the whole deal. And it's just one of those things, you take a chance. I didn't lose my ass. And I could have, I mean, just enough to, you know, pay everybody off. And I walked away with all my, like, I was down in a hotel room and in gas money, which is fine. I can live with
and
that.
And sometimes that's okay.
That's okay. But it's just, you know, it strengthened our relationship with Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
We spent that day before we went out there, you know, driving around Des Moines while she's telling us where we have to go because she's a vegan. And so
right.
we ended up going to a good burger place, a zombie burger. And so, But anyway, this is how this stuff works. What if I said, no, I ain't going up there? I cannot tell you what my life would be like now if I hadn't taken that chance after watching a TV show.
Honestly, that's what connected us.
Yes, it was.
That's what I was just going to say.
You know, and with my Iowa family, you know, and it's like, and I feel like that. I mean, I feel like an honorary Iowan. I'm up there so much, but that's for, and I meet Grandma Batree out there. And I was like, God, I've got to come back,
mm-hmm.
You know? Will and I, we worked that whole thing out for what we did last year. And then that's when we filmed, that episode of On Sacred Ground, you and I, and we had the tree, and it was just off the hook.
But
that's how, like, you got to follow that stuff, even though it sounds stupid. Yeah, I'm going to call one of the stars of Ghost of Shepherdstown and ask her to come hang out with us at an event. I have no idea what it's going to do.
But unless
you take that step out, you take that step out your front door and say, I'm going to take that chance.
Right.
That's what you got to do.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah,
well,
Wes drove up from Kentucky. I drove from, you know, it's just a crazy time.
Because Wes is from Louisville, isn't he? Or in that area?
Actually, he's closer to Lexington. It's about an hour and a half farther. Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
He lives out in the freaking boondocks north of Lexington. Good Lord.
Awesome.
In
well,
farm
speaking of bringing it into
cats.
Iowa, just to say a couple other places they'll be able to run into and see you besides the August 10th event at Farrar. So
Okay. We'll
have you at the Cedar Rapids Psychic and Paranormal Expo the last weekend, or July 20th and 21st, right?
Right. Okay, between now and then, I'm so terrible about my schedule. I'll be at KarmaCon on the 20th of April. That's in Mattoon, Illinois, at the Sweet Dreams Hotel. That's put on by, I forgot the name of the group out there puts that on because I'm terrible with this, with names and stuff. April the 26th, which is the Friday after that, I will be at Ashmore Estates. Rebecca Foster is the main person on that deal. She's putting it on, and I'll be one of the special guests, me and Riverbend Paranormal. May 11th, I'm going to the old Dog Patch USA fairgrounds. It used to be an amusement park, so they're going to have a Dark Knight Paranormal's putting on their Paracon there. They'll be May 10th and 11th at the fairgrounds. And so I'm here, I should say, the amusement park. And it's pretty run-down stuff. It's like you get to investigate in an old amusement park.
Yeah.
And so that'd be pretty crazy. But you look up Dark Knight Paranormal on Facebook, you can find out how to get there. May 18th, I'm scheduled to go up to Malvern. It's kind of because one person might have filming things going on, so I can't really talk about that. Kind of keep an eye on that. May 18th at Malvern Manor. That could be really good. It's so hard to get everybody together sometimes. It's one of those deals that's been like that.
That's another one I'm bummed about because I'm going to be – I mean, I'm not bummed. I'm going to be in New Jersey with Dan and a bunch of other people
and
having a blast.
Yeah, that's where everybody else is. Yeah, that's
like,
right. Yeah, that'll be
dang
fun.
Dang it, really? I want to go to Melbourne with you too.
it's going to be a good time. But, you know, it's, until the banner comes out, it don't count on it.
Right.
I'm waiting on a couple. Yeah, it's – you know, it's hard.
I'd be okay with you guys having a different date.
I would be
one
too right
I'm
now
open.
Because it's getting to the point where it's like, come on, man, it's like within less than 2 months away. And I hate, you know, I'm like, eh.
All right. Yeah.
My boy Josh knows what he's doing. So I'm waiting to see what he says.
June 22nd, June 29th. You know, I could throw you out some dates that would work.
No, I guess that's around my wedding. Then 29th, I'll be at Hinsdale. Yeah. In June 28th and 29th, I'll be at Hinsdale House in Hinsdale, New York.
Yeah.
With
and that's
Dan
with
Klass
Brian
and
Cano, right?
Brian Cano will be there with us too from Haunted Collector. First weekend in June, it's the Haunted Road Media Con that you're coming to. Rick Secker's putting it on. And so I'll be there with Kelly, and Dan Klass is going to be there. Lee Ehrlich. People shoot me.
Mike, obviously. Mike
and Sean.
The Southern Gypsies are going to be at that one. That should be fun.
Oh, my Lord. It's worth the price. They're worth the price of admission. They're insane. Let me think. You know, just a bunch of good folks there like that.
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me.
People.
You know, I'm old. My memory's shot, so I have an excuse. But it's just, you know, in June, and okay, my daughter's getting married in June 15th, and so the rest of June until I go to New York is all taken up. July we just talked about. I got some local stuff in July, but then we got the Cedar Rapids. August, I got to be the one in August, so But yeah, I mean, October I'm mostly local. September, the first weekend in September, I'm at SilCon. That's in Mattoon, Illinois.
I'm actually going to be there with you this year.
Are you really? I didn't see.
I am.
Did she post you up there?
I'm not sure if she has yet or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know she sent me back the confirmation. Well, it's been a few weeks at this point, but to be honest, I haven't looked to see if I'm up or not.
Yeah, Chad Wimber's going to be there, and Christopher St. Booth and his lovely wife Rachel. They're going to be
Mike
there.
I think Mike Rexaker will be at that one as well.
Yeah, Mike will be at that one. Yeah, there's some decent folks at that one, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
So, yeah, that will be good. And I think I'm going to Scarefest, too, this year. I'll be at Scarefest the second week in September. I think.
I think Scarefest is usually my birthday weekend, so that's September 15th.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Scarefest is getting way more. I'm not waiting to see what paranormal guests they have, to be honest. We'll see how it goes. I love going down. I love the place, but it's like you're waiting to see who they're going to bring in.
You could always come to Warsaw, Indiana, and hang out with Dustin Perry and me.
Warsaw, Indiana? How about Warsaw is in Poland?
There's a Warsaw Parafest that just got announced, and Dustin was telling me he's going to be there, and I signed up to be a vendor. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I don't know obviously much about it, but.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to check it out. I'll see what's
going on. I'm sure he'd take more pie if Julie is willing.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. He had the soupy pie last time because I got smacked by about an 8-year-old kid in the elevator when I was bringing it down. Dustin's pie. Dustin Perry loves pie, everybody, if you ever see him bring him a pie. He prefers apple.
Don't threaten his pie. He gets very defensive.
Dan Classic could eat Dustin's pie, didn't he? Dan's going to kill him.
He did. Oh, it was a rather strongly worded exchange.
It was. And Dustin's the most peaceful person I know. I'm like, jeez. You know? Between that and his cereal. But these events are fun, guys. So, you know, get out there and rub elbows with anybody and just have fun, talk to people. That's what makes this so much fun. It's all these folks, you know, that you meet and, like, you know, if you don't walk out your door and really say, you don't meet somebody like Kelly McCarville or Dustin Perry or, you know,
or Chris
Ryan
Dutton.
Buell. Ryan Bloody Buell come, you know, bless his heart, made the whole con at Omaha wonderful.
Saturday,
you know,
he was fun.
He's had so much trouble with that sort of thing. And the dude was there, and he hung in there. And Ryan's had his problems, but you know, I'm kudos to the dude.
He was doing good though. No, I mean, everybody knows his history, but he felt like he was doing well. So good for him.
I had a chance to talk to him a little bit, and you know, just told me, you know, people really care for the guy, and they're really pulling for him. I think he's starting to feel that, and.
Yeah.
He knows that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's, you know, it's just like a big family, you know.
It is. This is my family. I love you guys.
Yeah, we love you too. But gosh, good time.
I know. We are well over an hour. So I'm sure we could stay on here and talk all night long, I should probably try to be wrapping this up. But guys, this is Coyote Chris Sutton. Like he said, he gave all his social media a little earlier in the show. If you can't find him for some reason through his connections, you can find him through me. Reach out to me as always. I can connect you with any of my guests.
She knows where to find me.
I do. Mm-hmm. I stalk him. If I can't find him, I go to his wife and, you know, she hooks me up.
Call Julia. Where's the asshole at now?
I love her to death. She's so amazing.
Yep.
I can't wait to hang out with her in June. So,
yep, we can't wait until you come down.
It's going to be fun. Mm. All right, guys, just some real quick things that we've got coming up on my end. So we've got this coming Saturday, I've got an intuitive retreat at the Granger House, and I do have just a couple spots left that I could squeeze some people in. If anyone's interested in that, come about, learn how to use your own intuition, explore a haunted location once you've learned all of that. And then the weekend after that, April 13th and 14th, I was on the wrong month in my calendar and I just panicked. I'm like, I've been saying the wrong dates the whole time.
April 13th and 14th, we have the Dubuque Psychic and Paranormal Expo. That's at the Grand River Center in Dubuque, 10 to 6 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. We will have an amazing group of vendors, psychic mediums, healers, rocks, gems, haunted locations, paranormal teams. Mr. Dan Klass will be there with us for that one.
Yeah, he's giving away three books, I hear, too.
And doing readings. Yes.
Yeah.
For every free reading he does, you get to take a free book home.
Definitely. Yeah, put that. Make sure you post that.
I am making signs for him. Oh, he's going to kill us.
That's okay.
So one of the things that I've started trying to do is do a reading at the end of every show. And so I did draw a card before the show started and just wanted to do that real quick, and then we'll get our wrap up here. Because I have Mr. Chris on the show, and in honor of him, mm-hmm. I use my Earth Magic deck.
Ooh, and the
card that I got is the Dawn deck for New Beginning. And it says, the start of the day brings with it reassurance that the night has passed, making way for new opportunities no matter what has come before. It reminds us of the predictability of the daily cycles. That first light that forecasts the sun's appearance awakens the winged ones, who sing and chirp happily at the advent of another morning. It's a time of fresh beginnings from which we can create whatever kind of experience we desire. In this image, we see the rays of the sun stretching into the valley while the sun itself peaks around the corner as if it had set its course to proceed around the bend in the river, which appears relatively still from its rest during the night. This scene exemplifies renewal and new beginnings. And I thought that this was kind of interesting that this card was drawn, because this has been brought up several times since we got on the phone, Chris and I. You know,
yeah.
We were talking about new beginnings and fresh starts and all of that stuff, and it came up again during the show today. So just remember that every day is a new opportunity. Every opportunity that's put in front of you is a new chance to learn, to grow, to experience. So embrace them. Take what may. If it doesn't turn out the way you thought you wanted it, embrace it still and learn and grow from that. It's amazing the things that can come out of that. And you never know what twists and turns are going to happen that take you to places like this, where here I am sitting to one of the best people in my life, talking and having a conversation with him. And, you know, circumstances had to happen years ago for that to happen. So, yeah. Embrace every moment.
Very good.
All right, guys. Coming up for me next week on the Realm Walker, we are going to have Robin Eaton from Soul Touched with Robin, and we are going to be discussing auras and aura photography. So she will be able to share with us how it works, how to read auras, what the different colors mean. We'll go over all of that. So she's my guest next time, Soul Touched with Robin Eaton. And then the week after that is Ghost Girls Paranormal. So we'll have Teresa and Jen on. And yeah, I'm excited. So that's my lineup for the next couple weeks. Thank you everybody so much for listening tonight. Couple quick shout outs here. I was trying to keep up with chat, but I forget. I get distracted talking to Chris. So big shout out to Wolf and Michelle. And Mama Pat, of course, was in chat. She was going to ask you a question, and as she was getting ready to ask it, you were answering it. So good job.
There we go.
Let's see. And then we had Miss Jen listening, and that's just the ones that jumped in chat, which I know there are so many more people listening besides the one who are in chat. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in and taking the time to listen to the show, and I hope you will join us again next week. Again, we'll be talking auras next week. Chris, one last shout out on where they can find you.
Okay, you can find me at www.coyotechris.com. On Facebook, it's Christopher Sutton. That's my personal page. My public figure page is Coyote Chris Sutton. And on Twitter and Instagram, it's at Coyote Chris S. And I welcome all. I welcome everybody to, you know, message me, talk to me. I'm always up for answering questions or making new friends.
Absolutely. And guys, follow him, keep track of him, come out and see him. If you ever get an opportunity to meet this man, I strongly encourage it. Walk up, say hi. It's one of the best things you'll ever do. So,
Chris, that's usually that's all you got to do, and I start talking. So,
yeah, you're not hard to talk to at all, not at all.
No.
So, and again, if you get a chance to come out and experience some drumming with him, it's definitely life changing. So, anybody who's around on August 10th and can get out to Farrar, I strongly suggest signing up. I, like Chris said, we don't have an event officially announced yet. Be watching my page. I'll get it announced, and watching Chris's page and our other guests when we get those confirmed. But we'll be getting that created and announced here very soon and make tickets available. So
mark
your calendars. Thank you, Chris.
This is like, it's like to save the date for a wedding.
Right? Kind of. And you guys are the first to know. So
that's right. Save the date.
You guys are in the cool kid club.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank
Kel,
you so
always
much
good
for
talking
coming
to you.
On tonight.
Oh, it's always so good to talk to you.
Tell the family I said hi. And
I think Julia snuck by and went to bed. The boy's still at work. And so the dog came in while I was talking. She came in and said hello. But Bernie the bulldog, so.
I don't think I've ever met your dog either.
You have not met Bernie the bulldog. I'm going to bring you over to meet Bernie when you come down.
There you go. That'll work. So, all right, guys, thank you for tuning in tonight. Have a wonderful week, and we will hopefully have you guys all tune in next week when we talk about auras. Have a great night.
Bye.